Hey, Oasis Church Chicago, Pastor JP here. Hey, we're so glad that you're joining with us on our podcast today. I pray today that this message stirs your faith, that it builds you up, that it draws you closer to the Father's heart, and ultimately that you just feel the embrace of heaven. We would love to stay connected with you and you to stay connected with us. So please feel free to check us out on our website, oasischurchchicago.com, or download our app, Oasis Church Chicago. Also, you can be sure to join with us on our live stream on our YouTube page every Wednesday night and Sunday morning. Now here's today's message.
We are in a series, and this is an intentional series because we felt last year that there was a call for us as a house to begin, and when I say house, I mean Oasis. And so if you're visiting, if you're here just for the first time, or if you've been coming, regardless, I think these messages are, they're kingdom. They're about the kingdom, and they're going to help all of us. But we felt really called to begin to really cultivate and build our culture of who we want to be as a church. And that sounds interesting because we've been a church for 7 years, but we had a great culture, we thought, and then COVID hit and the Lord shook us as a house and said, change everything. So there's more to that. And you guys can hear that by going to family formation and all that stuff. But the Lord told us to rebuild the walls of Oasis. And we did that. And so we entered into a season of really hearing the Lord and what we're called to do. That's where formation groups came and a lot of other things have changed and transformed. And so in that, we've also realized that we have to develop, and we've done this with time. We didn't just do this because we wanted to be cool and hip and have cool little phrases, right? We did this because we believe these are important. We believe that we already do this and that we're gonna do it better as a house. And so the Lord has called us to develop what's called our blueprint. And if you become a builder, you get one of these. And so I just want to make sure you guys see this, but it's really inside of there, the heartbeat of Oasis, who we are and what we're about and what we're called to do and how we're called to operate. Okay, my goal is not to create a bunch of Oasis minions. I just watched that movie last night with my kids, so that's why it's really in my head. It's not to create that. It's to create people that are full of the kingdom of God. I said people that are full of Jesus. And so that's where this came from. And then we said, we're going to teach these values over the course of 9 weeks. And so this is week three of our values in our house. But like I said, if you're visiting, if you're just here, I believe this one is really important for us to catch. I say that about last week. I'll probably say it about the next few ones. You know, last week was honor. It's important. But this one, we're going to talk about the power. And Derek even said it a little bit, the power of serving. So the value is serving over self. Serving over self. I just want to read a part of the text that I'm going to teach out of today. And then we're going to pray again. And then we're going to jump in. And then we're going to see the Holy Spirit blow this place up. Is there faith? Okay. Mark 10, if you have your Bibles, go to Mark chapter 10. That's the teaching text I'm going to be in today. Mark 10. And I'm going to read a passage, a couple verses of this. We'll read the whole thing in a second. And it says this, Mark 10, verse 43. I'm reading, I think, out of the New Living Translation, so it might read a little different than what you have in your Bibles, but you can follow along. Verse 43, Jesus is speaking, and he says this, but among you, it will be different. Everyone say, it has to be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must be the slave of everyone else. For even the Son of Man, Jesus is speaking of himself, came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. I love that. Jesus said, whoever wants to be first among you must be the slave of everyone else. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. Let's just pray. Lord, these are your words, and we ask that by your Spirit today you would speak to our hearts. I pray this spirit of divine revelation hits this room right now, and that we have a revelation. I don't want this to be a message that inspires us necessarily. I want this to be a message that is revelation of the kingdom of God. So I pray revelation come, Holy Spirit, and reveal to us what's the call for us to be a people that serve, that give our lives away, because you're the example of it. So we love you, we honor you, and we ask this in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Thank you. Rach and I, as you guys know, we are parents, and we have two precious little kids. My son Titus is five. More than ever, he's living into the prophetic call of his initials, which are TNT. And we're experiencing that every single day, more than ever. And my daughter, Eden, she'll turn three in June. Oh, man, I almost forgot. Praise the Lord. June. And if you have kids and you've been in this age, this is a crucial time. This is like crucial development time 101 for these little ones. Take notes, those of you that will have kids one day. This is the time where Rach and I have what we call the war room. We have a room, or aka our bedroom, where we go in and we discuss all matters of our children and how we are going to help our children succeed in life. It is the war room. I say, Rach, we got to go have a conversation. She'll say we need to have a conversation. We don't know what to do. And the biggest missional mandate right now, the thing that's like, this is highest priority, like we are going at this thing more than ever before with our kids today, is teaching them to serve one another. I'm not even exact, like this is the biggest, one of the biggest things, maybe like, yes, containing emotions. Yes, you know, eat your dinner. But it's like more than ever, it's like learning how to teach them to serve each other. It's like, Titus, grab your sister's water and take it downstairs. And you know what Titus does? It's like, son, grab the water. And, you know, it's like, now I'm like, yeah, there's no teaching. It's like full blown, like, son, this is a responsibility. Son, your job is to protect your sister. Son, give your sister your attention. Like, serve your sister. Eden, I know you're three and you're my daughter and you live with me till you're, you know, 50. But daughter, Eden, help your brother lift that thing. She's like, why? It's like, don't ask why. But this is a constant instruction that Rach and I are finding. Parents, we do this. This is pivotal. Why? Can I just be honest? I want my kids to grow up and be full of integrity, character, and strength. And I want them to grow up and not be brats. Did you just call your kids that in church? I did. They're not that. I just don't want them to become that. You can laugh in church. It's okay. Like, I don't want them to grow up and just be about me, myself, and I. I'm training now. I think every parent feels this at some point. We've all hopefully learned this at a young age, and we've been instructed, whether it's by your teacher in school, whether it's by your somebody you're working for. We're teaching them, give up your life and serve. And then we get to become adults. And the lessons that we learned as we were kids and our parents instructed us, at least my parents did, we seem to outgrow them. And what I mean by that is we seem to get to this position and place where it's like, I don't really need to serve anybody anymore. I don't really need to put attention to anybody anymore. I don't really need to focus on anybody else except me. And somehow in a room of adults, I start talking about serving and everyone starts to shut off their ears. And it's like, no. This is so necessary for us as grown-ups, as people that are moving along in the faith, as people that are in our 20s and in our 30s and in our 40s and in our 50s, in our 60s, and I won't go above that because right? It's like the more we grow up, the more we need to grab a heart of saying, hey, I really need to know what it looks like to serve. Like I pray, this is not like, I don't want to pump us up today. This is not a message for you to really push you into serving in the church. I'm going to teach why it's important. This is not a message of any of that. Really what this is truly the message of Jesus. Like if there is a message that Jesus, who we believe came to this earth, lived a blameless life, gave up his life for so many people at so many different times, went to a cross, did all that, raised to life for us. We believe that Jesus in this church. He came and he was the most selfless person in the world. And I believe like if you boil down his message besides the kingdom of God is here, there's now a way back into the right position that you lost, that we lost in the garden through him. The message I believe fundamentally, this is just me, personal conviction, is that Jesus' message is serve. Like if you boil this thing down, It's like, serve. People come to me and they ask me often, like, why do you know that Jesus is real? I just had this conversation like two, three weeks ago. I was visiting another place and someone asked me, like, how did you know, or how do you know that Jesus is like the one true God? All these other religions, all this other stuff. And I simply, this is an answer, and I think it's like, it sounds elementary once again. But it's so like, it's real. I looked at him and I said, tell me another king. Tell me another Lord. Tell me another lesser God that has come and given up his life. That came and said, I'm here to serve you. Not serve me and then I'll serve you. Are you with me? Yeah. And it was like revelation hit this kid. And he cried, he wept, he accepted Christ. It was powerful. It's powerful. Because that's the message of Jesus. Serve. And so let's go back to Mark's message here in chapter 10. Jesus is in this moment. I'm gonna teach the Bible for a few minutes and then just help us. Is that okay? You love your Bibles? How many of you brought your actual Bibles? The holy ones. And they let everybody else know too. They're like, yeah. You know, it's good to bring your Bibles to church. But also, if you have your phones, it's okay too. No judgment. But here in this passage, Mark 10, I love this account here in Mark because over the course of Mark 9 and Mark 10, you see the human condition. You see humanity unfold through the speech of his disciples and through the teachings of Jesus and what he tells them and how they respond to it. I know it can get a little weird or right. I find myself in the Bible at times, right? I want the Bible to speak to me, to correct me, but I also see myself in my humanity and how the Lord wants to correct that. And so throughout these words here, Jesus tells the disciples three times what it looks like to be great in the kingdom. What it looks like to just be great. It's like when my dad, you know, my dad's construction guy, he's also a pastor, carpentry, all that stuff. I was a little kid and I would help him build stuff. And I remember the first time, because this nail remembers the first time. This little thumbnail. And my dad said, son, I'm gonna give you a hammer now. Normally it was like I would just pick stuff up to him, hand it to him. I think I was 6 or 7. He said, son, listen, this is how you hit a nail. You get your finger on the nail, you put the nail down on the plywood or 2x4 or whatever, and you tap it to start it a little bit. Some of you have never held a hammer, I'm helping you. You don't just full blown like, you know? You start it, pull your finger away. You with me? And I was like, he was like, son, listen to me. I was like, yeah, dad, okay. Three times, son, listen to me. He walked away. I took that nail. I took that hammer. Wham! Whoop! Right there. Gone. Like, you know, I don't want to get all gory. Some people pass out with it, you know. That thing was gone. This little guy right here, gone. Smashed. And I'm screaming. And he walks in and he said, son, did you do what I said? I was like, no. He's like, I told you for your own benefit. Jesus is here telling his disciples over and over and over again for their own benefit. This is what it means to be great. This is what it looks like to be incredible. And Jesus, the first time in Mark 9, in verses 30, Jesus predicts his death to them. He tells them how he's going to die. And in the midst of that, in verse 33, it says, they came to Capernaum. I don't have these scriptures, so just follow along. When he was in the house, he asked them, what were you arguing about on the road? Jesus is sharing how he's going to die, and you got some disciples arguing about something. This is us. But they kept quiet because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. And Jesus, sitting down, called the 12 and said, anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all. It's the first time. What a moment. Could you imagine being the disciples? Jesus is like, hey, I'm going to die on a cross for you. Hey, what were you talking about and arguing about on the road? Peter's like, dude, you got to tell him. I can't. Right? Like, but it's like, hey, guys, there's some profoundly impactful thing being shared, and we're worried about who's greatest. And then it comes into the, in chapter 10, the rich in the kingdom of God, the rich young ruler. And, you know, we just heard a whole bunch about money and tithing. We don't, money's not a sin. Did you hear that? Some of you need to hear that. It's not money that's a sin. It's when your heart gets consumed with it. And then the teaching of Jesus is there, and he shares the rich young ruler and how he's like, hey, sell everything, give it all away, come follow me. And the man's face fell, and he went away sad because he had great wealth. And Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, this is in verse 23, how hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God? The disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said again, children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, who then can be saved? And Jesus continues, he goes down in verse 29. He said, truly I tell you, after Peter says, we left everything. What else are we supposed to do? How else are we supposed to do this thing? What's greatness look like to you, Jesus? I could give all my money away. I could sell all my possessions. I've left my family. I've left my fishing boat, because this is what the disciples did, right? Jesus said, come follow me. And they're like, okay. And they gave up their livelihood. And now Jesus is going deeper and he's clicking down a little more on them. He's like, oh, they're like, what are we out? What else are we supposed to do? And he says, truly, I tell you, Jesus replied, no one who has left home or brother or sister or mother or father or children or fields for me in the gospel. I love this. This is a promise. Will fail to receive 100 times as much as this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, and children and fields, along with persecution. And in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. This is the second instruction of Jesus saying, give up your life. And then we get to Mark 10, the teaching verse here today. Because Jesus is trying to make it very clear what success and greatness looks like. Doesn't this just feel kind of opposite than what the world has said for so long? Because this is an upside down kingdom, y'all. We serve a king it's upside down. It's flipped. It's not like the world says. And so he gets here in chapter 10, and it says this, Mark 10, verse 35. Is this okay? Are you awake? This is the Bible, and it's good. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came over and spoke to him. They said, we want you to do us a favor. Could you imagine? Hey, Jesus. Hey, yo, we've all done it. Hey, if you just get me out of this one jam, I'll come to church every week. I'm pressing buttons. It's awesome. Hey, if you just give me that job, I'll tithe. You won't tithe when you get the job. If you don't tithe now, you won't tithe then. It's good to learn now. Oh, I'll give money to that homeless person when I see them, when you bless me. It's like, no, just do it now, even if it's, okay, here we go. And what is your request, he asked. I love that. Jesus isn't angry. I've heard this preach, like Jesus, like, what's your request? That's not how Jesus, I don't think Jesus talked that way. He's so full of grace that he'll let you be stupid in front of him. Oh, that's so bad. He'll let you look crazy. And he's so big and full of grace, he's like, come on, just keep coming to me. It's okay. Aren't you encouraged by that? How many times I've done something like that to Jesus and said something, and he's like, no, you're clowning. Sit down, let me teach you. And they replied, when you sit on your glorious throne, we want to sit in places of honor next to you. One on your right and the other on your left. Do you know what they're asking? When you ascend to heaven, when you get to your seat, whether they meant it as heaven or they thought he was just going to take over and rule and reign on earth, like, hey, Jesus, when you get on your throne, can we sit next to you? Just imagine they smiled. Right? Can we be those guys? We want to be great. We want to show our greatness to everybody around. And Jesus said to them, you don't know what you are asking. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering I'm about to drink? He's speaking of his crucifixion. Are you able to be baptized with the baptism of suffering I must be baptized with? Oh, yes, we are. We are able. Because when you want to be great apart from the ways of the kingdom, pride enters in. And this is pride. Sure, we are able to do that. Yes. And Jesus told them, you will indeed drink from my bitter cup and be baptized with my baptism of suffering, but I have no right to say who will sit to the to my right or to my left. God has prepared those places for the ones he has chosen. When the 10 other disciples heard what James and John had asked, they were indignant. Why do I think they were upset about it? Because they didn't ask first. I do think that. I don't think they were mad at these two. I think they were like, why didn't we ask that? So Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers in the world lord it over their people, and the officials flaunt their authority over those under them. He's speaking of the present age ruling, governing body that's happening there, right? So he's like, this isn't new news to them. They're like, yeah, that's exactly what we're living in. This is it. The rulers of authority lord it over you. But among you, among the church, it's got to be different. Say, it's got to be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first among you must be the slave of everyone else. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and give his life as a ransom for many. This is the human condition, y'all. This is us when we are not dialed in the right place with the Lord. This is us hearing Jesus say these words over and over and over again, walking out from here going, I want to be great in your kingdom. I want to serve. But then the world and its trappings start to speak, and we lose the idea or the heart revelation of wanting of what it looks like to be great, and that is to serve. When we start to get consumed with, right? This is not a judgment message. This is a reality. We find our places over and over and over again saying, I want to be great. Can I tell you something? Because this has been said to me often. There's nothing wrong with being great. Don't get it. Please don't hear me wrong. Whatever profession you're in, be the best. You need to say amen. Like, be the best at it. Crush it. Dominate it. Lead the way. But do it as a servant. Right? Like. You got a business idea in your heart? Develop it, create it, make it, do it, but build it on the foundation that I'm not going to be one that's going to rule and reign and lord over people and hurt people. I'm going to serve through this gift and through this talent. I believe more than ever the time is now where the Lord is looking for people that will give up their lives and serve. I didn't want to go here, but I'm going to go here. I feel a release. COVID really screwed up a lot of things. But what it screwed up, it really shook things for people in the church. And one of the greatest things I believe it shook was that they didn't have to serve. And that's not I'm not condemning. Can I just speak to you as like a dad? Like, it's not a condemning thing. It's like for almost a year, no one had to show up to the church except me and a couple camera guys and the worship guys. That was so terrible. It was all right. We got through it. It's true. We had to show up to a studio space. We had to do all the stuff. Church online. Remember all that? That was awesome. And then you didn't have to come, and you didn't have to give your life up. And I understand all the nuances here. Please hear me with ears of grace. But it kind of put a little bug in people. It's like, maybe I don't have to give up my life anymore. Because you know what? Life's looking really good right now. And if I start to do that again, I'm going to get disrupted in my schedule. I'm going to get disrupted in how I think things should go. I don't want another disruption. I'd rather just be chill and let others serve. Am I talking to anybody? It's the reality. It's like more than ever, we've entered into this position where it's like we are not calling for people to give up their lives and serve out of maybe just like fear. Maybe it's like, hey, we don't want to ruffle the feathers, or maybe because the word rest has infiltrated the church in such a good way. And can I go here? Not so good way. I'm looking to my, thank you. He said it's okay. This man said it's okay. So can I be honest? Rest is precious. Sabbath, precious. Oh my goodness. Where we practice it as best as possible on Saturdays. Rach and I and our kids. Yesterday involved us waking up, going to 8 a.m. soccer practice, freezing, watching five-year-olds kick soccer ball. It's awesome. It's awesome. Praise the Lord. Come back, make pancakes, chill, hang with the family. It's good. But we've allowed for this idea of rest to overtake the call from Jesus, which is this: serve. And I understand seasons of life, and I understand there's points where people can come and say, hey, I've been serving too much. I'm in a state where I just need a, moment to breathe and to heal. We're all... But it's like, I remember Pastor Charles Landrum preached one time here. He's like, everyone's just like, it's not my season to serve. It's not your season to serve. What? Your season to serve started when Jesus died on a cross and redeemed your life. And it hasn't stopped. Is this okay? I think this is great. I love Jesus. And so what we're doing now is like, I don't want to, I'll give you 1 month or 1 week out of 2 months. And I'll come and serve God's house. And I'm not just here to talk about the house. I'm here to talk about your life as a whole. And what's happened is we got to be very aware that that scheme of like saying like just chill has entered in. And the church has in so many ways taken steps back. Instead of going on the offense. Whoo! I mean, I played defense my entire career in soccer. I was a defender. Believe it or not, I'm short, stocky, but I was a bulldog. Y'all don't play games with me. Don't. I was. I truly was. Everybody else on my the defense team was like 6'4", and here's me, just short, stocky, stubby. But boy, you gonna come? I'm gonna. And you know, I remember the greatest highlight of my entire career, especially in college, was when my coach would from the sideline look at me. He'd look at me. And he'd be like, he'd do this. And I knew, it's time to go play offense, baby. And I would go play offense for like 2 minutes. Like just get up there, it was a scheme. Like I'd go do it, try to score. Totally missed half the time because defenders don't know how to shoot. But it's like I loved, is this making sense? I loved playing offense. The kingdom of God needs to go on the offensive. The church needs to rise up and go on offense. We got to stop playing defense. I'm just too tired. I didn't get my rest. I just have too much on my schedule to give up my life to Jesus. And Jesus is going, you don't understand what my kingdom's about. You don't understand that you haven't had a revelation of who he is if you go easy no to serving. Like if there's an easy no to serving, you haven't had a revelation of who he is. I'm convinced of it now more than ever. You're going to have to wrestle with this. You're going to have to go home and chew on this. But I'm just releasing a word that I feel like the Lord is like, this is the hour. Because the reality is we're going to rule and reign with him. Do you understand that when he returns, Jesus is coming? You all should clap, like hallelujah. Like he's coming back, and the thing is for us, he's like, you're going to rule and reign with me. If we don't know how to rule and reign, and what's ruling and reigning look like, then we're going to be very confused when he comes. Is this helping you all? We're like, Jesus, come. He's like, I want to come, but you need to learn some things before I come, because if you don't learn them now, you're going to be real confused when I... Yeah. He's like, listen, stop putting things in front of this. Just learn what it means to be great. Greatness in the kingdom is opposite of greatness in the world. Yeah. And Jesus says that. I mean, the cultural moment right now is like, serve me, serve me, serve me. Right? Give me, give me, give me. Right? And believers, we can't, followers of Jesus, we can't fall trapped to that. We got to wake up and go, you know what greatness looks like? Me serving my wife and kids every day. You know what greatness looks like? When I'm in the Uber and the guy, I can just tell, is having a day. You ever been in an Uber where the guy's on the phone and he's just talking to somebody, but he's trying to be super quiet and just, I'm like, and it's awkward. You don't know, you never been in an Uber like that? I have. I'm like, this brother's having a full-blown war right now on this phone, and I'm just sitting back here. And I'm not telling him who I am because I'm not praying for him. I just want to get to my destination. But you know what serving looks like? Hey, man. You good? What's going on? Oh, nothing, nothing. Well, it sounds like something, and I don't want to intrude, but can I pray for you, or can I encourage you? You know, I don't want to call. That happened in a car ride one time in an Uber, and the guy's been faithfully coming to church here now because of not because I'm like, hey, I'm awesome and holy, and look at how great I am. It's because that's what the kingdom's about. Trust me, there is every fiber in my being that wants to just be there with my ear pods on and catch up on the latest podcast and not do anything. But Jesus says, give up your life. Give up your life and you will find life. So I serve my wife. I serve the guy in the Uber. I serve people walking in and out of restaurants by holding a door. I serve my server at a restaurant. What do you mean? Isn't it their job to serve you? Of course. But I'm going to treat them with dignity. I'm going to treat them with respect. I'm going to treat them with honor. That's the way I get to serve them. I'm going to serve them by tipping them and tipping them well, regardless of how good they did or not. Why? Because they're human beings, and I'm called to give my life up to serve them. This is an awakening that has to happen in the body of Christ, because when the world sees a church this dangerous, the world will start going, what's different? Because right now, it's not looking too different. And Jesus is like, hey, guys, listen, you're missing it. I came to serve and not to be served. This is the model of Jesus' life. This is the entire message of Jesus' life. Matthew 20, verse 28, it says this, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. That is the anthem of Jesus' life right there. What is Jesus all about? Serving. If we're supposed to be like Jesus, then what is our life all about? We follow him and we do what he does and we operate the way that he operates. See, I've said this, and I actually think I said this last week. Jesus is not your add-on. He's not a supplemental pill you take when you need to feel good. He's not something you cry out for when you're in the ditch or when the blue lights are on behind you and you know you were speeding over 40. You're like, it's like, Jesus, I'm crying out to you. I know you hear me. Please rescue me. He's like, stop speeding. Follow the law. You know, it's like that's not Jesus. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is King. Jesus is the one that we get behind and we follow. And if he says, my message is this, I've come to serve, then what should our lives be about? Giving it up. Whether they recognize it or they don't. See, I think we've put things in place where it's like, well, I want people to see me. I want to be seen. If I come and serve, I want to make sure that pastor sees me and gives me a high five and hugs. I hope I do. But what if I don't? I want to be seen. No. He sees. The scriptures even says that he sees you when you go and you give your life up. And he's rejoicing. My goal in life is not for you all to applaud. My goal in life is to get to the end of my life and for him to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into my joy. Enter into my life. Enter. That's my goal more than ever before. Like, that's the mandate that I want to live by. It's like, I want to get to the end of my life and Jesus being like. Because if I live by the praises of man, I will also fall when they stop. And we're looking for praises. Look what I did. Look, I went to street team. Great. We're going to cheer you. Thank you. Look, I gave my time in Kids Zone. Thank you. It's probably more coins in heaven for you serving up there than serving in the parking lot. You should just be thankful, that you, right? Is this okay? You're all quiet church today. It's a Presbyterian church. I'm almost done. This is the mandate of heaven. Serving, though, I think the reason why Jesus is so big about it, I think this is why it's his message. It's because it kills selfishness. It kills it. It's the antidote. An antidote is what you give when you get struck by poison, you know? I'm learning a lot about snakes currently with my son. We're reading all sorts of books. We just watched the video yesterday. This is more inside my life, but welcome. I'm so glad you're here. We watched a video yesterday of a cobra that spits venom. He was like, and I was like, son, this is disgusting. Like, we gotta close this thing. You get struck with poison, you better find an antidote quick. We have poison in us. It's me. It's selfishness. Bruce, just you come up today if you can. It's selfishness. And serving is the antidote. Now hear me, because we can get this out of order, twisted, or try to do this in workspace. I'm not here to talk about works. If you've heard me preach, this is not about works. You can't work your way into the kingdom. You can't work your way to his love more. You can't work your way into getting his approval more. You can't work your way into getting his attention more. Hear me. You have all of his attention, all of his love, all of his approval, everything. But there is now a mandate, right? And what I'm not saying is that if you start to serve, like, you're never going to have selfishness creep back in your life. No, it'll always be prevalent. The flesh of men and women is there. It's there. It's there. It's there. And that's why we have to just continue to crucify. But I found myself that I've been in moments where I want to be selfish. Oh, I want to be so selfish. I'm tired. I don't have enough in me. You guys have heard me say this, like, but. When I'm in that position, what I realize is that I become too infatuated with myself. And I need it to break. And by breaking it, I have to go serve. I actually have made it a point in my life. This is just me being transparent. When I found myself to be infatuated with myself, I wake up or I get up or I get out of the room that I'm in with the Lord or wherever I'm at, and I intentionally go and do something that breaks off selfishness. I intentionally have to go do an act. That is not me trying to work my way into the kingdom. That's not me. I'm getting that thing killed. It's the antidote to selfishness. And the kingdom of God wants us to be great. The kingdom of God should be the most attractive thing. The church should be the most attractive thing to the world. You should walk in here like, this is home. I found a place that my heart is, I don't even know what's happening, but something's happening. It's beautiful and it's precious. Yeah, it's the church. And we should be people that know that there's something in us that wants to call for our attention, call for greatness. But no, we're not saying yes. We're saying no to that. We're saying yes to giving it up and coming to him. Serve your kids. Serve your spouse. Serve your roommate. Serve your coworker. Why you have to go there? I don't like them. Well, that's your first problem. The idea of I don't like someone in the kingdom is not it's a negative. Is this okay today? I think it's good. We gotta serve. Sign up to serve, like Shadow next week. I don't know if I was even supposed to plug that, but I am. Like Shadow, some of you have been sitting in the seats too long. Okay, that's my plug. Back to the message. We're almost there. Okay, but really, it doesn't become difficult to serve in the house when you realize you're serving Jesus' bride. Oh, hear me. The church, global church, is the bride of Christ. It's his bride. If someone serves my bride, my wife, who I love to death, if someone comes and serves her, which people in this room, I've watched you, if they came and served her, I'm like, you have my life open to you. You can have whatever you want because I know that you've served my bride. There's a deep like level of like just intimacy and trust there that I'm like, whoa, you've given up your life for my wife. Like you've served, like I will do whatever. It's the same thing. Are you hearing me? Like this is the bride. So it's not a have to show up to church to serve. It's not I get to in this weird kind of way. It's no, I've seen Jesus and I'm coming to his house because I'm so excited to serve the bride of Christ. This is the bride of Christ. And how we serve, how we speak of it, it all matters. It's a call to serve. And trust me, there's so many blessings to it. You'll be refreshed when you refresh others. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him. Hebrews 6:10, as you have helped his people and continue to help them. God will not forget. Whoever brings blessings will be enriched, and the one who waters will be watered himself. Each one of you has a gift that you've received, so serve others. Faithfully ministering God's grace in its various forms. I could keep going, but for the sake of time, serve the Lord with gladness. Are you glad when you serve? Are you excited? Or are you like, I'm telling you, and this has been worked through me so many times. Because serving really I think it's the call for us today, because it's actually what heaven calls great. I think heaven wakes up. I don't know, that's a weird saying I say often. I feel like it's just kind of, I feel it in my heart. Like, there are certain things that wake heaven up, that wake Jesus up. I know he's not sleeping, okay? But it gets his attention. And serving is one of them. When he sees you hand that dollar to that homeless person, or he sees you open up that door, when he sees you come into his church and he sees you give and serve, it's like, yes, I can trust that one, because what I've given them now, they've been faithful in it, and I can entrust them more. Some of you want to be entrusted with more, but you've never been faithful with what you have now. And the Lord does not go back on his word. He can't reverse what he said. And some of you are like, I want the blessing of the Lord. And it's like, well, the Lord's given you some stuff. Be faithful with it now. That's greatness. Jesus, I'll close with this. This is what Jesus shows in John 13. He says this: Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. I think we have that on the scripture. Isn't that crazy? Just real quick, that passage of scripture. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power. So there's a revelation of Jesus right now, whether it happened in this moment or John's just reiterating it, I don't know. But I would just say, this moment right here, Jesus realizes or has a deeper revelation that he is the Son of God and all authority has been given to him. I'm not saying I'm Jesus, but if I was a king and all authority was given to me, guess what I'm doing? Throwing a parade. Judgment. You'd all do the same thing. I would make sure the social media platform was created and ready to go. I would make sure everybody knew that I was the Lord. I would make sure everybody knew that I was the one in charge. Are you with me? Like, this is the human condition. Power? Oh, I'm gonna use power. Jesus has a revelation of who he was and where he's come from and how he's gonna return to God. And it says this: in knowing that power, he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. This is Jesus' life. Jesus has this moment where the revelation of who he is hits. I have all authority. I have all power. I have everything given to me. Everything, like, are you with me? And he goes like this: I'm gonna take this thing. I'm gonna take this thing right here, and I'm gonna wrap it around myself. And another way to look at it is like he took it like this. He said, I'm gonna serve. I'm gonna serve because I wanna show my disciples what it looks like to be great. I wanna make sure they don't miss it right now. I wanna make sure that they have a deep understanding of what it looks great. And he put the towel around his waist and he said, disciples, come here, Kevin, come here. Come here. Sit down. Kevin, man, I picked the man with the largest feet. Bro, what size is those? Don't even. Can you take your shoes off? Did you shower today? Yeah, good. Okay. Yeah. I'm not trying to show you how great I am. I'm trying to show you what Jesus did. The thing about washing feet in that time was they didn't have showers, they didn't have socks, they didn't have shoes, they had sandals. And they walked in dirt, heavy dirt. And their feet were so nasty. I was trying to find out how they cut their toenails back then. I couldn't find just a saw, just. You all getting the picture now? It wasn't like, oh, Kevin, thanks for showering last night. The disciples, they had nasty feet. And Jesus says, I'm gonna get low. And I'm gonna take your feet. It says he took the jar and he filled it with water. See me? I'm like, that's enough, Kevin. Get out. Come on, let's wipe your feet off. right? I've served enough. I've done enough. Like, your feet are better than when you had your shoes on. Add a little essential oils in there, make them smell better. They're good. But Jesus doesn't stop right there. He doesn't just stop when he's like, okay, Kevin, time to go. Good job. Next. He goes deeper. He goes further. Are you hearing me, church? This is revelation we need. He doesn't stop when it makes sense. He goes deeper and he rolls up his sleeves and he has the towel around his waist and he takes the towel and he just starts wiping feet. He starts taking his hands and he starts wiping feet. I am not a feet guy. But he takes the rag and he wipes them and he cleans them and he gets between the toes. He does it all. And they're dirty and they're nasty. And Jesus just gets low and says, this, church, this. Takes them out and he dries them off. He says, this is what I'm about. I'm not about you. You can dry it off. Give me the other foot. I got to finish the job. The heck, man? Looks good, man. He says, it's not about getting up on the stage and finding your position to be like, well, I get on the stage and now I'll serve. Or I get a title in the church and then I'll start serving. Or the person, the team lead will recognize, he's not about anything. He's like, listen, get super low and serve. And get so in the mud, in the mix, and watch as your Father in heaven is so pleased with you. Murph, can you help him? Like, just do this. This is greatness, guys. I think it's so precious when husbands and wives at their wedding, they do that. I've been in weddings where the husband's like, I'm gonna wash my wife's feet. I'm like, aw. And I look at the husband, and I pull him aside. And I said, hey, bro, that's so cool you're doing it for a photo op. And it's so good you're doing it today. But when you're 10 years into this thing, when you're 20 years into this thing, and you don't want to wash your wife's feet, remember this. Because it's good now, it'll be even better then. You don't outgrow serving. Are you hearing me, church? You don't outgrow serving. You cannot outserve the kingdom of God. You cannot do too much. Our lives are called to give it up. Let's give up our lives and let's find ourselves being a people that give our heart and soul to serving the kingdom of God, his church, his people, the city. Let's serve. That's a call. Respond. You got to go wrestle with this. But let's respond to this. It's the greatest thing. I want you all to hear. It's the pastor's heart in me, I guess. I want you all to hear those words. Well done. Well done, that good and faithful servant. He's not going to roll the tape or he's seeing how you secured your life or you saved your life or you didn't give because you were tired. No, he's going to look at the moments where you did. He's more concerned about that. Are you with me? And who cares? It's my third close. I'm done, I promise. Who cares if you get any recognition for it or not? Who cares? He sees. Would you stand? Would you just, no one moving around, would you just bow your heads and close your eyes for a second? And would you just ask the Holy Spirit right now, if you feel this, if you felt this, for those of you that call this place home or those of you that are in the church, would you just close your eyes and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart about a place, an area where you can step in and serve? Maybe ask him for a heart to be filled with that, a servant's heart right now. Come on, just 30 seconds. Just pray right now. Make this your prayer. Lord, I want to be used by you. Holy Spirit, I want to serve. I want a servant's heart to be my heart. Lord, you didn't dictate. You didn't rule and lord over people. You came to serve, and I want that heart to fill my heart today. Holy Spirit, give us that heart right now. give us that heart to serve, to give our lives to anything that you would ask of us, to give our lives to anyone that you would highlight or call us to give. Give us a heart to serve our families, our children, our loved ones, our neighbors, Lord. Give us hearts, Lord, that aren't about us, that are about you, God. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I just felt like in the room today, if you're here and you want to say yes to Jesus, I believe there's someone in here, maybe a few, that need to just say yes to him serving you on that cross, that one that came to give his life up as a ransom. He's here today and he loves you and he adores you and he wants to enter in, he wants to wash you, cleanse you, purify you, he wants to give you brand new life today. With every head bowed and every eye closed, please, he wants to just meet you right now where you're at. And he wants to reveal how great he is. Just like that young man, I just felt it once again, that young man who just had the revelation of Jesus just serving him. Jesus wants to wash you today. He wants to wash your heart. He wants to cleanse you from all sin and unrighteousness. He wants to bring you into new life. Like we were singing, the blood of Jesus speaks a better word. And the blood of Jesus is speaking right now. If you're in this room and you want to just say yes to Jesus, this is not just a yes today, this is a yes to serving him forever. This is the great work of grace. I want you just to slip your hand up right now. Just slip it up. Slip it up high so we can see it. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right. You can put your hands out. Just pray. I just want to pray over you right now. Jesus, every hand lifted. I say, Lord, cover them. Keep them. Thank you for your forgiveness that's flowed into their hearts right now. Lord, your word says, if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that you are Lord, you come and you dwell. And so I pray, Holy Spirit, you'd fill their bodies, you'd fill their souls, you'd fill their minds. And would you just make it like you always do? Thank you for new life in these people today. Thank you that they are new creations today. And thank you, Lord, that your cross, that the greatest sign and signal of someone that came to serve, that cross has paid for them, has rescued them, has delivered them from all things, God. And so thank you for new life today in them. And Lord, thank you for what you've done in this place. We honor you, we glorify you, and we thank you in Jesus' name. And everyone says, come on, and everyone says, come on, can we give Jesus some praise?